So today we're gonna go over the AI tools that people are talking about on X, and we're gonna talk about if it's overrated or underrated.
Okay, this is gonna be spicy.
Yeah, we'll be a little spicy.
Like if NAIT somehow adds an affiliate, I don't know if they have an affiliate, but if they do, it's over.
It's over, dude.
Please tell me they have one. Oh yes. They're going to make so much money.
As of recording this, it's underrated, but we're going to look back on this video in 6 months and be like, why were we talking about Mantis?
Claude Code, underrated. Extremely underrated.
Which is crazy because it's all over my feed right now. Everyone's talking about it.
I think, yeah, Claude Code, if you're a non-technical person, is more daunting, but just try.
You're not going to single prompt a 50K a month SaaS, but I do believe that we live in a world that it's completely possible to use things like Cursor, to use some of these tools to develop something that you can make $50,000 a month for. Minimum.
If there was any time to start something that has the slightest chance of being successful, there's no better time than today. Okay, so I share my screen and okay, we'll do tools. And you tell me, let's start. First tool.
N8N.
Overrated or underrated, Greg?
I think, what do you think?
I think underrated. Okay. Only because if you know what you're doing, you can do well. But if you have there's not an ounce of like, if you don't use modern tools, like you're not a heavy Google Drive user, you're not on Slack always, or you're not like setting up automations, email automation, you haven't used Zapier before, then yeah, this is basically useless. And I think we've all been seeing it on Twitter. It's the new dropshipping. if NAIT somehow adds an affiliate, I don't know if they have an affiliate, but if they do, it's over.
It's over, dude.
Please tell me they have one. Yes. They're going to make so much money. So yeah, this is definitely the new Shopify because I see everyone talk about automation. So I think in that sense, it's overrated, but I have a feeling you think otherwise.
Well, here's my take. Because you come at it from like a developer perspective. So you look at it and you're like, yeah, I can go out and make these charts myself. Even if you don't want to do it yourself, you go to ChatGPT, you'll get the JSON. Copy and paste. But for the vast majority of people, they copy these workflows and they don't work for them, or something's broken, or they don't know how to do it. So I think for the vast majority of people, it's overrated.
Makes sense.
But I do think for like somewhat technical or technical people, it's underrated.
I get that. I call it non-technical and technical organizations. Like, so you might not be physically writing code, but like you understand like technical concepts. So I do agree, but yeah, if they somehow like start promoting this and do what Shopify did, this is a billion-dollar company. We have the tab here. We're actually playing with it. You said, so basically Spring?
Yeah.
Sorry, I have the String.com at least. So they're built on top of Pipedrive, which is basically an N8N competitor, I'm assuming.
Exactly. So I feel like what String is doing, I'm not involved in the company in any way, but
do you have to disclose that a lot nowadays?
The comment section is always like, oh, you're... Because I just did a tutorial on String, and people were like, this is a paid thing. And I was like, no. I literally messaged the founder like the night before, and I was like, I saw your product, and I think it's really cool. And I actually had tweeted about that the future of automation is prompt to automation, just because I think that people don't want to sit and make workflows all day, especially like non-technical people.
No, that makes sense.
So,
and I can vouch that you probably messaged him because that's how I hopped on the channel. You literally messaged me and I'm like, and I thought it was a scam at first. It was someone else. So I can vouch, but
I messaged him the night before. He was like, I'm leaving to Europe for vacation. But if you want to hop on tomorrow morning, let's do it.
Founder mode. Okay, yeah, founder mode. Serious. Okay.
Anyways, point is, I think string.com, although parts of it are janky, like they need it. It is an alpha for a reason.
They do mention alpha to that point. Yeah. So, yeah.
And by the way, I respect him in the tutorial he did with me. He basically was like, yeah, parts of it are janky. Like I respect founders
who are honest.
Of AI companies that are saying like stuff doesn't work all the time. Point is, I think that like if you start using things like string.com and you start creating these automations, like so much is going to unlock in your brain for how to like save time, make money, that I think string.com is actually underrated. And I hope that, you know, the N8Ns of the world
actually implement this. Yeah. I think it'd be very powerful if they did, and I don't see why they couldn't. They're so profitable.
Real quick, I need to tell you about something that's helping me sleep better at night as an entrepreneur. I was running multiple companies with money scattered everywhere, zero spending visibility, and making growth decisions pretty blind. I knew there had to be a better way, and my friend told me about Brex. So I switched, and now I have mission control for every dollar, spend management and visibility, virtual cards for my team, and earning cash from the same day treasury product. I was leaving so much money on the table, but not anymore. I have a financial operating system for our businesses to make decisions so I can spend smarter and move faster. And it's been a total game changer. I'm loving Brex so much, I reached out to them and asked them to sponsor the pod. If you're building something real, you need a complete financial operating system like Brex. It'll help you sleep better too, and you can't be mad at that.
Lindy.ai seems like to be something similar, but fair to say, is it more marketing-esque?
Yeah, it's. I mean, N8N is marketing in a lot of ways. But Lindy, what I like about Lindy, underrated, is that it has the templates. So it's got like, I don't know, 100 plus templates that will be like, okay, you want to create like an automated email, email outreach agent. We're going to go and you press a button, you can copy and paste that template and it works for you.
Wow.
And then, you know, for me, why I think it's underrated is I love seeing templates because it's like, it gives me ideas around like, okay, maybe I wouldn't use it for this use case, but I would use it for that use case.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay, so I need to try out Lindy for some marketing stuff because I'm terrible at that. I just know how to make content. Claude Code, underrated. Extremely underrated.
Which is crazy because it's all over my feed right now. Everyone's talking about it.
But man, if I had to pick one, for the rest of my life, let's say like AI just stagnates here for the end of time, and you told me Cursor, Windsurf, all these tools, and I should probably add that to the list. Who would you stick with? It's Claude Code.
Mm.
It is the first time, and I showed an example here earlier while we were chatting. And there have been a lot of videos on like how to prompt, creating an MD file, like having a PRD and giving that as context. And those skills are important. And I'm glad people are thinking like that methodically, like a product person. I actually want to even talk about GitHub later, just give a simple crash course for most people to understand how to use it. But Claude Code essentially showed us that they could build an agent that does all of that. So it'll track its own tasks. It builds out a to-do list. It has its own plan. It executes on that. It writes tests. Most developers, I would say, or most indie hackers, I would say, hate writing tests. I hate writing tests, but it's necessary. Sometimes. But you should still do it. It's safe, right? You feel good about the product you're building. Claude Code does it automatically, right? So in my opinion, if you're a developer and you haven't at least even tried Claude Code,
what are you doing?
Yeah. And even if you're not, please, just like there's tons of tutorials. I'm sure Riley has a video. Like Riley always has a Claude or Cursor video. Like there's some video there. I would spin up Cursor, Windsurf, whatever you like, and use Claude Code because it's truly, in my opinion, the truest form of agentic coding we've ever experienced.
So for a lot of people who are non-technical, even going into Cursor is daunting. Your suggestion is non-technical people should spin up something like Cursor, get Claude Code.
If it was easy, everybody would have done it, right? Like, honestly, like I know it's difficult and I speak from a place where like these tools are easy to me, but I think you would do yourself a disservice to not try. At least try. And if you get stuck, guess what you can use to figure out what to do next? AI, right? So yes, the tools are not built for non-technical people, but I would still use it. And one thing that's exciting too about Claude Code is they also released an SDK. So a lot of like the AI platforms can now use Claude Code's agent instead of building their own. And I was at the Claude Code conference, and when I was talking with their team, they essentially were like, yeah, we're going to advise like a lot of these AI agent, like especially coding agent builders, to just use our agent, because in a respectful sense, they're basically like, we'll smoke you. Like, our agent will always be better, right? And I think Claude has kind of proven and won and owns the sphere of like programming. So I wouldn't be surprised if all the Vibe coding tools and like any coding tool like Devin, CodeRabbit, the Lovables, the Temples, the Bolts, Figma, Make, Hostinger, Airtable, all of them, anything regarding code, I do see a near future where they probably just implement all this, because why go against researchers who are now valued at like, what, $100 million a year? So I think, yeah, Claude Code, if you're a non-technical person, is more daunting, but just try.
Okay, so I agree with you, by the way. Underrated for both technical people and non-technical people.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Because once you get it, I have a little graph here. I mean, it wouldn't be a Ross, Mike, Greg video if there's no graph. And I would put like Claude Code somewhere here, where it is difficult, right? It is difficult to use. It's not the cleanest UX. They want you to use a terminal, and a terminal can be terrifying, but there's nothing like it. So I would put Claude Code right here.
By the way, you know what we should add to this list? What? This is the last one. I can't believe we didn't think about it.
What did I miss?
MCP.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. No. You know, you pissed my people off.
I know. I pissed thousands of people off with my takes on MCP, but we'll get to that towards the end of the episode.
And then there's these new class of tools.
Like I haven't used Devin, so
Devin and CodeRabbit.
Okay.
So I would say these two are like the closest thing to an actual assistant. So Devin and CodeRabbit are meant for you to build projects from scratch.
Show me Devin and CodeRabbit.
Yeah, I can. So I'll start with Devin because I've been actively using it. So Devin looks like this, and or first you think, oh, this is like, you know, any of the Vibe coding tools, but it's actually meant to like be integrated with like an existing code base. And here's the powerful thing. There are three powerful things about Devin. First, they have this thing called DeepWiki, which basically is like you can add like whatever code base is in your GitHub, right? So like you can imagine for like someone building a serious project, you connect your repo, and then I don't know how the AI does it, but it contextualizes your entire project and breaks down exactly how it works. And I can't explain to you how valuable this is for anyone building something serious. You might not even be technical, but reading this document will actually help you understand how this system was architected, right? Like, for example, by the way, for those looking at this, this is like an app I made for a few friends, and essentially what it does is it helps you create Apple passes for like your community. And it breaks down here how passes are created. And it'll tell you here, for Apple Passkit web services implementation, device registration, pass update, see the web. So it knows that I used an external service, Apple Passkit, and it tells me if I click here, I can read more about it. And then there's diagrams explaining how the APIs work, what the flow is, like what endpoint each, like for example, device registration endpoint, it tells me it's this one right here, shows you even the back and forth. Like for anyone in an organization or even like maybe a small team, like 3 or 4 people building something serious, this alone is worth however much Devin is charging. So this is number one. Number two, and this is also one of my favorite features, is you can like start a session and you can basically tell it to either fix a bug, add a feature, and you can run multiple of these. But here's what's special about this, is they have integrations. If I go to settings and integrations, you can integrate Slack and Linear. And like in your Linear ticket, like let's say you have a PM write out all the features. And this is where I think yes, it's for software engineer teams, but even a non-technical person in a team can use this. Like, imagine you have a detailed spec on Linear on what this new feature needs to be. You can literally add Devin, build this, and it'll take all the Linear information and it will start to build a feature, and then it'll create a PR on GitHub. And I can show you one where I had an issue and I asked it to fix it, and I can literally, can I click here? It literally wrote the PR, and mind you, files changed. It's one simple change. It was just removing this line. But I spent hours trying to figure out, why is this not working?
We've all been there.
So the PR is detailed, like there's reviews. I also use CodeRabbit as well. And then it shows my Vercel deployment, and then I merged it in. So it's a different class, but might I say, probably the most useful, like the Devins and the CodeRabbits, and CodeRabbit is somewhat similar. Like, it does reviews and stuff like this. I don't know if they fully have this type of feature, but I would say they're sort of in the same realm, and they're actual assistants. And this, for me, like if I wanted to build something serious and I was working with 2-3 people, I think something like this can actually be used by a product person who maybe knows how to write like a product document, and they can ship features using Devin and I can review the code. And that's what a lot of my work has been at like now. I review more code than I write, to be honest. Like, I'll let Cloud Code do its thing. I'll let Devin review, like do something here. And I'm just trying to understand what it's done and if it makes sense. If it makes sense, I'll merge it. If not, I hold it back. So, and they have you pay $20 one time and then it's pay as you go. So, you know, just try it out. $20, a little fun. I think it's underrated. It's not for everybody, but you won't know till you try.
Like, that's fair. And CodeRabbit?
Yeah, so CodeRabbit is in the same realm. Like, these are like the assistant agents. I haven't given it a full spin, but where I've used CodeRabbit before is when you're doing these PRs, pull requests, and I'll explain it when we get into like the mini GitHub crash course, it reviews your code. And there's actually, maybe I can find the tweet code with. So there's this YouTuber called Code with Antonio, super G guy. He is like the reason why most dev YouTubers no longer do like 4 or 5 hour tutorial videos. He's just the best at it. And we've all decided that he just runs this space. And what's interesting is he tweeted this. He said, in the last 90 days, I released 3 courses, which CodeRabbit reviewed 77 pull requests, left 42 comments, found 66 issues, and left 61 suggestions for me. Can I even say that I developed solo anymore? Just install it already.
Damn.
So, and the thing is with CodeRabbit, what's cool is it'll identify an issue. And let's say, because someone, I can already imagine someone's like, but I'm not technical. It'll give you a prompt to give whatever agent you're using to fix it. Context, code snippet, and everything, right? So, like, and when I tell you that Antonio is a G, like, if I, like, I just need to show you the stuff he builds, Greg, because
I feel like I'd appreciate it.
He built a lovable clone the other day. Like, and he does this himself. Like, full on $2 billion business, he built it himself. Like, and he goes line by line. So, like, if you're someone who wants to learn how to code, like, he literally takes you, like this is what, 10 hours.
And it's free.
And it's free, yeah. It's literally, like, it's free. Like, he gives you everything. And he talks pretty slow, so you're not going to miss anything. He's not a fast talker like me. Like, so if someone like this, who's, and all his videos are, like, 10 hours. What's this one? 1 hour 46. This is actually his shortest video. 11 hours, 8 hours.
Dude, this is crazy.
Yeah, and this is all free, bro. Like, this is all free. Like, he, like, we've, I told you, as like developer YouTubers, we have all decided that we will never do a video like this because you don't beat this, right? So if he thinks it's changed his workflow, like 66 issues, especially in a production code base, like, this is serious, right? Like, I know vibe coding is exciting and you could build your own project, but if you plan on having real users, which I hope you do, security is something serious you have to talk about. The, you know, your project actually working, users' information being safe, payments being safe. And yeah, so I would say the CodeRabbits and the Devins of the world, are super underrated.
All right, let's move on. By the way, we should give a disclosure. You do work at Tempo.
So. I do work at Tempo, so I'm biased. You know, I get a paycheck every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But with that being said, what do you think, actually? I'm curious. I put Bolt, Lovable, and Tempo all in one line, even though I think Tempo's slightly different, but maybe that's the bias talking.
I haven't used Tempo, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I can't rate it, but so I'm leaving that out of there.
Okay.
To me, both Bolt and Lovable are very similar.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you haven't tried Bolt and Lovable, it's underrated.
Yeah.
If you have tried Bolt and Lovable, it's overrated if you don't know how to prompt properly, and it's underrated if you know how to prompt it and give it context.
Yeah, I agree. I think like anyone who's used Bolt and Lovable seriously will start to appreciate like how difficult it is to build software. Because like there's a certain level you reach and it starts to get difficult, right? So to me, they're underrated in a sense where that initial joy everyone experiences when they prompt something and like result shows up.
Yeah.
Is like I've seen it, and like a lot of people, like it's amazing to see people experience that unlock. But then it gets to a point where you want to take it really, really far. I actually think the next big wave of businesses are infrastructure companies. Like your Superbases are killing it, but like your Superbases, your Convex is like these back end as a service companies that will basically handle all that nitty gritty stuff and like can easily connect to some of these vibe coding tools. I think those are the big business plays. And that's where like, you know, anyone who says, oh, we need to replace like AI replaces engineers. Now you need engineers to build that.
Yeah.
Because that stuff is hard. And there are even certain things that even Claude Code, as amazing as it is, can't do. But I would say for what it unlocks and what it's done, and I think how it's inspired folks, I think it's rated fair. I think the people who love it for a reason.
Yeah.
And if you haven't used it and you use it, it feels like a new world.
Yeah. And then in terms of like, is Bolt better or is Lovable better? I think it goes down to like, you know, is Excalidraw better or TLGeoDraw, right?
That's how I feel about Cursor, Windsurf. I know I didn't put it here too. Like I get it all the time. Which one's better, Cursor, Windsurf? And it's like, they both release updates at such a pace. Just pick your camp and stick with it. Right?
I also think like there's nothing wrong with prompting both.
Mm-hmm. Like you could literally have both, right? So I agree with you. I don't think there's like a notable, because it's always like, I feel like it swings in pendulums. Like 1 week Bolt is better, the next week Lovable is better, the next week this is better, that is better. And I think for the most part, unless there's like specific features that one has that the other doesn't, I think as a non-technical person, you're living.
You want to move on to number 7?
Yeah. So these are Figma Make, Hostinger, Airtable. I haven't tried and I probably will never try, because these are companies that I think Figma doing it makes sense.
Okay, explain. People don't even know.
Yeah, so Figma is like the designer toolkit, right? Designers.
They're going IPO.
Yeah,
they're huge.
They're IPO. And is it a smart thing to buy at IPO? Because Circle, you know, I read on Google, oh, you're not supposed to buy at IPO. That's when the investors dump. But Circle went like 4x. But this is financial advice, so maybe we'll talk.
I'm actually a Figma shareholder. Full disclosure.
This guy's cooking.
Full disclosure, cooking. You know?
This guy's cooking.
But I keep it real. I'll be honest with Figma Make. I think it's overrated.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, do you think it was more so for optics versus like they actually want to like maybe compete with the Tempos, the Bolts, the Lovables? Like, because to me, it's like, I didn't think they had to do that.
I mean, I remember when I sold my company to WeWork. It was a mobile app, and WeWork needed plays like that because they wanted to be valued as a tech company, right? So before you go IPO, it's really, really important to be like on trend.
Makes sense.
And that adds to like the, you know, the valuation and the excitement of whatever it is you're doing. So my guess is that, I don't have any inside information about Figma, just to be clear. Like, I'm a small shareholder via, I invested in a company, that company got bought by Figma and I got some shares. So I know nothing like inside about it, but that being said, like I would imagine that they're like, oh wow, all the Bolts and Lovables are crushing it and Tempos are crushing it. How do we get a little of that pie so that the market gets excited about our IPO?
Makes sense. Yeah. So that seems like Hostinger has one too. Airtable has one too. And I mean, if you want to have one too, you can go on Code Antonio's video and follow his thing. So I definitely think like, I don't know. Do you think anyone can come in the space right now and be as big as the Bolts and the Lovables? Like, cause like, it just seems like every week there's a new one.
Well, yesterday I think it was leaked that Lovable is raising at a $2 billion
valuation.
Yeah.
Yo, kudos to
totally.
Kudos
and $2 billion. We talked about investing in Lovable. Yeah, you remember?
Yeah.
And we didn't. You know.
I told one of my bros about it, and I was like, "Yo, I think they just raised $2 billion." I was like, at the time, I think it was this much. And he was just like looking at me like, bro, what are you doing? It's just like, man, at the time, it just, you know.
Yeah.
But kudos to them. You know, stellar execution.
100%.
Like just world class. It's,
yeah.
You know, irregardless, like one thing I will say, and I think we share the same testament, competitor or not, no other person or not, I genuinely just love seeing people win. I love like excellence winning.
That's what I like. I like that about you.
Yeah. Like there's no like, I don't beef with no. We're just here to, you know, do great things. So it's like, I love, like, you know, as much of a, like, you know, competitor or, you know, whatever they are, like, excellence is excellence, man. And they've executed and it's been inspiring.
And the pie is huge,
everyone,
right?
Everyone can win, man. Everyone can win. I'm a big believer. We all can win. Nobody has to tear down nobody to
That's
win.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, yeah, I don't even, I'll be honest, I haven't used Figma Make. I haven't used the Hostinger one or the Airtable one. Although Hostinger is a great VPS provider, I think they even have a template to host your N8N. So, like, cool for them, but I haven't used any of these and probably won't.
Cool.
So, how about Manus? I know you're big. The biggest video on the channel is a Manus video. Right?
Not the biggest, but
it was one of though.
Yeah, it's a top video, you know, because I think Manus was one of the first like agent.
Yeah, like it felt like, oh, this is like a Jarvis, like it could do stuff for me. You can leave it.
Yeah. And you were able to watch it browse in real time.
Yeah.
Which was also really cool. I still use Manus a lot. I think it's underrated.
I agree. I think I've used it a few times, like for research stuff, and it was pretty good. Now, my only concern, like if I was part of the Manus team, is, you know, with OpenAI's deep research and all that stuff, you think they'll go into that direction, or you think Manus is a specialized tool enough where it's like there's still a place for them?
I think for as of recording this, it's underrated, but we're going to look back on this video in 6 months and be like, why were we talking about Manus?
I feel you. Yeah, because like it's like, I mean, Sam said it in like the most, you know, gangster way I can ever think. He's like, just make sure you align your growth with us. Otherwise, we'll steamroll you, right? So it seems like with Operator and with like deep research, even Perplexity's pivot to like a browser, like, you know, I wouldn't want to battle those guys.
No, I will also say with Manus is I was using it the other day and it was like, connect your Instagram.
No, they're trying to get you.
I was like, I don't think so. You know, the Chinese government, you know.
Let me just get your information. No.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So be careful on Manus with, you know, giving your information.
Yeah. I genuinely like, I actually have like not a theory, but like a hypothesis that every site should just be sign up with Google.
Yeah.
Like done with the email password stuff. Because if you sign in with Google, there's no way you can really do anything heinous with my information because Google will take care of that.
Yeah.
They give you just enough. So yeah, having to give IG access is pretty wild.
Also, like we added, you know, on ideabrowser.com, the new thing I'm working on, we added sign up with Google. It was just email before, and then we added sign up with Google. I was surprised most people sign up with Google.
Yeah, like it's just because like even for myself, like maybe this is me being a developer, like the fact that, like, I have to give you my password and remember it, and, you know, like, password could potentially leak. I think a couple billion passwords leaked not too long ago. Versus with Google, click, click, boom, done. Right? So I'm very, like, most apps I build will probably only be sign in with Google. And
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, Vappy.
This is more you. I've heard, like, it's a voice agent or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Vappy. Oh.
So it's voice agents. That's what it is. So it allows you to create voice agents. Yeah. I think it's, most people have never used it. Yeah. So it's underrated. Like, the fact that you're able to, like,
dang. 400,000 calls. Okay. Yeah.
The fact that you can create workflows that allow you to, like, create a Twilio number and then start calling, add an Excel list of, like, or a Google Drive list of all these phone numbers and then reach out to them and have basically an intelligent, you know, voice agent speak to these people, I think is...
Nah, this is underrated. I just pinned this. I'm going to play with their API later.
Cool.
Last but not least, come on, man. Come on, man. Okay. You tripped the whole internet.
Show them the Theo. Let's pull up the Theo tweet.
Theo is not happy.
So Theo is like, you look up to Theo, right?
Theo's my guy. Like, I will say he was one of the inspos, like one of the biggest inspos for, like, tech YouTube, like for dev YouTube. Like, his, like, and like, I can honestly, like, give credit where credit is due. Like, I grew a lot as an inch because of his videos. Where did he?
He tweets a lot.
Dang, Theo, he had me. Okay, so let's see.
So while you're pulling that up, I tweeted that I think that once you understand MCP, you never see the internet the same way. By the way, the context there is I was talking about non-developers.
Yeah.
When non-developers understand what MCP is, it's like a light bulb moment around, wow, I can use LLMs in this way. That's all I was trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I think, like, again, man, Theo's a very smart developer, but this is the classic case. And Theo, if you're watching this, if I'm wrong, let me know. But this is a classic case of a developer thinking from a developer's mind. Like, I read this and I understood because I have a lot of, I would say 90% of my friend group are non-developers. I spend most of my day with non-developers versus developers, aside from my workplace, right? So I get what you mean when this blows your mind. Like, when a friend of mine on, I think it was Claude Desktop, set up, like, I think it was a Gmail connector or something, and he was able to ask something about his emails, blew his mind away. It felt like Jarvis to him. So, yeah, but... It's your next tweet that made me laugh.
Wait, go back. Because, scroll down. This guy, relax, dude. It's just a JSON schema.
Yeah, again, like dev, right? Like, yeah, currently building an AI agent. Like, bruh, you see GitHub? Yeah, like, it's devs thinking about devs.
And then I responded, it's not what it is, but what it unlocks. Like, that's how I think about it.
Yeah. Given I understand this protocol better than 90% of the LARPers on Twitter, I could tell you for most NLM because I'm, like, it's just, bruh.
And then look how long of a tweet he writes.
Yeah, I'm not reading all that. God bless you, and I hope you go. It's like, the fact that, like, there are still people who don't know what MCP means. So unlocking MCP unlocks freedom.
Okay, so why do you think MCP is a huge unlock?
Yeah, because the thing is, it's like, you're, for like a non-technical person, the fact that my Claude desktop app can now have access to external information with almost minimal configuration on my end is powerful. It's like, to me, like, the way I look at N8N, like, I can build all those automations. And to be honest, for the most part, I will, because I enjoy writing the code. I think I can maintain it better. And, like, I as a developer would feel more at ease having control over the code versus trusting N8N. But for someone who's not technical, who might have some technical knowledge, what it unlocks is huge. And that's the same way I think about it too. So, and if you remember the video we did, I told you, like, from a dev perspective, it's kind of just an API at the end of the day. But for a non-technical person, being able to integrate these third-party services into, like, an MCP client of your choice, that's money. That's game changer. So, yeah, the devs take an L on this one.
The M in MCP stands for money. The money yep. context yep, protocol.
And I'm with that, bro. So I would definitely say this is underrated.
Underrated.
Yeah. Because like most people using ChatGPT still don't have... Does ChatGPT have MCP? I'm more of a Claude guy. Yeah. So like no. once that happens, it's like, imagine people...
I don't think they do. I
think they mentioned it that they were going to start building ChatGPT.
But I don't know if it's yet. In there yet. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Not yet. But as MCP support. Oh, they have? But specific. Okay. Yeah. So
and
they
like
have.
Outlook, dude.
Yeah.
Like, no, thank you.
Teams. Teams, right?
Yeah.
So, no, yeah, I think MCP is underrated. I think devs being devs. And that was interesting. And I think, you definitely followed it up with some other banger tweets that picked up in steam.
To say the least.
Like the 50K. I need to show people that. The 50K. What was it? Is it not technical?
There it is.
Right here. Man.
2.5 million Woo! Views. Okay. You want to read it?
I don't think you understand. You vibe code assess. You get 50K. Oh yeah, you just jumped to 50K. Your net margins are at least 50% because you don't need a big team. You're making 25K a month, 300K a year. You could sell business for 10-15x EBITDA all day long. Your business worth is 3 to 5. You own 100%. You keep growing or selling. You double down the business. All of a sudden, 6 to 10. Your customers love the product. Why are you raising venture capital again? I don't think you understand. I think people, you know. This was just such a great jump that people for like, you know, this was your point. Why are you raising venture? This is obviously best case scenario. You're just on a hot streak, right? But I think people just saw this.
I mean, where am I wrong in this? Besides, okay, I go down. If you scroll down.
They said you corrected yourself here.
I corrected myself. 5 to 10x EBITDA. Which, by the way, you're still making millions of dollars building a SaaS. But tell me, where am I wrong in this? In this,
you know what it is, because folks don't have the context of like the content you create. So this, I'll say this: if this wasn't a Greg Eisenberg post, I would think this is someone selling me like some course. So I get it. But the context of your content and the ideas you give and the point you're trying to make here, you've always been like, I remember. You were always the anti-VC guy. And people don't know this. You invest in companies all the time, actually. So it's like, but you're telling them you don't really need to raise money. And I believe this too. Unless you're building something where there's no way you can be profitable because like you're using these new AI tools and the credits are like Anthropic is expensive. Like I've seen the Tempo Anthropic bill. It's high, right? So company like that, like the Lovables, the Bolts, they have to raise money because if they're somewhat profitable right now, that's a miracle. I don't think they are. So for that type of business, it makes sense. But if you're building like, man, your content generator, you don't need like Sequoia Capital to invest money in you, right? So I get the point you're making here, but people just read this. And can I tell you, you were on every engineer, like you were quote tweeted by all my favorite developers.
Yeah.
Like Primogen, like even the small accounts. I was like, my Greg's, that Twitter check is going to be an amazing steak dinner.
Totally.
But I get your point. I get you're talking about raising capital here. And now, question, have you heard like of a vibe code? Like I've heard some people, like for example, this guy, I think his name is Alex. He used my template, like my SaaS template. And he's not really a developer.
He's not. I've had him on the pod.
Yeah. So 300 bandos.
Dude. I think he responded. He was like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We got a burger together in SF. And I'm like, brother, you use my template and you make more than me for my job. Like you're cooking.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, technically, I mean, he got some ways to go, but Alex is, he's on the way there. Now, again, this doesn't mean everyone's going to do it. Just like I know so many talented engineers, Greg. So many talented engineers. They probably won't reach that number, right? So that part is on you. So I get what you're saying. But I also understand that when you wrote this, you kind of knew this was going to. Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I know. I know. I know.
I thought it might ruffle some feathers. For
I know.
Sure.
I know.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are like, oh, how could you write this, 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 that? I'm like, I know he smirked when he hit post.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I truly believe in this post. Honestly, like I truly believe that, okay, it's going to be hard. You know, you're not just going to like
saying yes and don't quit your job.
Don't quit your job. You know, you're not going to single prompt a 50K a month SaaS. But I do believe that we live in a world that it's completely possible to use things like Cursor, to use some of these tools to develop something that you can make $50,000 a month for.
I believe it.
Minimum. Like, or 10,000, okay? Or 20,000. But like, 50,000 isn't even that.
I think 50 piss people off.
The 50 piss people off.
I think if you did 10, it would have been calm. I don't think the tweet would have gone this viral.
But to be honest, like, if I'm being honest with you, I think that, you know, especially in a world where now you can like partner with creators and do TikTok ads, you know? Look at like what the Cal AI guys are doing. You know?
They're printing.
Printing. Like, $50,000 a month is less money than a convenience store.
I will say this. Even you saying that, there's a part of me that's a bit uncomfortable even imagining that. But that just shows like, man, like you just gotta switch your thinking.
Well, it's a limiting belief.
Yeah.
It's a limiting belief. It's possible. Yeah. It's possible. I'm not saying it's probable, but it's possible.
Yeah.
And it's never been more
easier than compared to like 5-10 years ago. Agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
So that's my point of this post is that. And that it could be life-changing. Yeah. And that was my point. And I believe this. You know what?
Let me give it a retweet. Oh,
shit.
Let me give it a retweet, too. Because I was crying, bro. I was laughing at all the responses. But no, I think if there was any time to start something that has the slightest chance of being successful, there's no better time than today. And that's a fact. There's no better time. Like you can't say it was better 5 years ago, 10 years ago, especially in our like, I would say world, like tech, SaaS, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, in fact, I'll be honest, as a developer, it like, you know, back in the day was better. The jobs, like you would be hired for less skill. You can overcharge people to build the simplest apps, right? Like I've heard stories of people pay like 50, 60K for like a simple CRUD app that you can like vibe code now, right? So there isn't a better time than now. And I fully agree. And stop hating on my boy, Greg.
I mean, you can keep it real with me, you know, like people.
No, I'll tell you this. Like I said, it's that 50K number. Even it made me feel uncomfortable. But because I know you and I know your content and I know the mindset you have, this wasn't you like gloating or whatever. But for an engineer, if I didn't see your name, I would think this is someone trying to promo a course or something. If I didn't see your name and I didn't read the last two lines, right? So if it was, I don't think you understand, your customers love your product. If it ended there, I would have been like, yeah, one of those probably has a course link in bio. But why are you raising venture capital again? Meaning like there's no point in you doing this and it being you and your content is when I saw this and I was like, I get what he's trying to say. But like, you also have to learn in the dev space, we're very much tired of like the fake guru.
Well, isn't everyone?
Like, no, but like, I think we have like an exceptional, like we despise it, especially because we see people fall for it. And that fake guru make like millions and millions of dollars. So there's like this deep, like I know we all are, but with devs, it's deeper. So
it's too bad because the point of the post was really to inspire people.
And man, like I told you, it made me feel like I texted you this. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'm like 50K a month. Like
Jack Fritz. Did you see Jack Fritz?
Yeah. He's like easy money, right? What did he say?
Go to his ex.
He's actually, I've talked with him before. Jack. He's like making what? 20,
something like that.
I think it's in replies, right?
No. He quote retweeted it. He has a lot of tweets, so you gotta really go down. read a little bit of that.
It's actually not out of the question for someone vibe code assassin to get 50K. There are plenty of people who know 50K a month is not a ridiculously high number. It's entirely economically feasible that 100 more vibe coders could be making 50K a month and wouldn't impact your chance of success either. and he's young too, right?
Yeah.
Mostly the limits you set on yourself are the limits you tend to get stuck on. So remember, the next time you think 50K a month is not doable for you or some other Vibe coder, for sure it is. It's not easy, but definitely doable. Keep going. I'm 19K a month. I told my mom my goal was 30K a month, and I knew she thought that was insane a bit. It was beyond her reality and just in reach of mine at the time, making 1K a month from my mobile app. But now I'm where I never thought I'd be, and I could tell I held it back in these false limits just because I thought it was some impossible mountain. No plenty. And I mean, a lot of people make 50K a month. Why not? Maybe it won't be.
Why not you? A lot of people make 50K a month. Why not you?
That's true. You Vibe Coder SaaS. Okay, Craig. Yeah, Cheyenne is one of those devs. He's funny, but.
Like, what did he say? He's like.
You Vibe Coder SaaS, you get 50K a month. Okay,
Craig. 519,000 views.
I told you, man, you were on my feed. And it wasn't even your tweet that I saw. Yeah. It was everyone's quote tweet of you. I'm like, what's going on? But I think everyone just skipped this part. This was your conclusion.
Yeah.
Your conclusion is you don't need venture no more.
My conclusion, honestly, is that. And also, you can do this. At least try.
Oh, so there's an agreement here. He says, can you build a profitable SaaS? Absolutely. Is it as simple as Greg makes a sound? Come on, that's LinkedIn successful. The average SaaS takes 2 to 3 years.
I disagree with that. The average SaaS takes... Okay, you know what? Maybe I agree with the average SaaS. Okay, great. Yeah. Are we trying to create average products here?
Most founders burn out there. Yeah, this is an oversimplification of the process and misleads. I think
your post was taken as, this is now the new reality.
Yeah.
Versus you're saying, this is... difficult, it's not easy, but this can be attainable. At least people didn't get that from the post, but I understand what you're trying to say, right? Like, if 50K a month was easy, we'd all be making 50K a month.
Yeah.
But it's not. But it doesn't mean it's not possible.
That's right. Also, the paradigm has shifted. Like, yes, the average SaaS took, all, you know, what did he say? 2 to 3 years to make...
No, things have definitely got faster.
Things have gone faster.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, like even the YC companies pivot so much nowadays in the... Like, you're not sticking to something 2 to 3 years. Like, you ideally want some sort of product market fit much quicker. But again, I've never grown a successful SaaS.
He says, pretending the hard parts don't exist isn't abundance mindset. It's lying to yourself. Real abundance is knowing the game is hard and knowing there are still tons of ways to win. I disagree.
So talk about that.
Yeah, I fully disagree.
It's lying to yourself. Real abundance is knowing the game is hard and knowing there are still... tons of ways to win. So like, what would you... Okay, so where do you disagree here? Because I'm not sure. Pretending the hard parts...
I feel like that statement is leading from a place of fear and not leading from a place of courage and abundance. So if you want something, you have to picture like yourself at the finish line, right? Like if you're running a race, you picture yourself number one. Mm-hmm. Like... think of a horse track, like the horses, right? The horse that has the blinders on and is just like picturing itself getting to, you know, finishing that line is more likely to be number one, even if it isn't the biggest horse and have the strongest legs and stuff like that. We underestimate, going back to overestimate, underrated. I think what's underrated is how powerful our minds are when we could actually... say, when we actually could like think about the getting to the finish line and winning. Like when I start a project, I'm not like I'm trying to get to 5K a month MRR or I'm trying to get 5 or 10 customers. Like I'm picturing like, you know, the CNBC video and I'm picturing this or I'm picturing whatever is success for that project. Yeah. And if you do that, I just find that you're more likely to win.
You know what it is? I have this theory that in order for a company to succeed, there needs to be two types of people, one with the rism and one with the tism, right? So CTOs are often like, you know, the more, I would say tism, short for autism, more like technical, more predictable, more we have to do this, this is achievable, we can build this. And the CEO has to sort of be a dreamer that pushes everyone to feel uncomfortable. And to me, this looks like a classic CTO versus CEO, where like I think a lot of engineers and even myself, like I feel like I'm like in two worlds where I get him and I get you. Mm-hmm. And I heard this saying one time, it was like
pessimists are often right, but optimists make money. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I've decided that I want to be an optimist and I want to make money. So this to me looks like this is a CTO talking, and what you're saying sounds like a CEO talking. Mm-hmm. I feel like if the inverse happened where he was CEO and you were CTO, I don't think it'd work out. But there's a reason why I think this dynamic between two people is the best in terms of building like a really big company. Like someone needs to dream and someone needs to remind us that the reality is crap and we need to fix things. Mm-hmm. But I think both without a good balance might not be the best. But again, this is all thought. This is all theory. I haven't built a successful business yet, so I don't know.
I think what's interesting is the non-technical people like myself are starting to build products now.
So now we're going to see
who's
really about it.
Exactly.
I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you. And as the models are getting better, we're like, you know, I agree with you. But yeah, I definitely do think it's like a lot of work starts in the mind. And, you know, I definitely prescribe to the fact that, you know, if you want to build excellent things, it starts with some sort of belief and confidence that like, okay, I might not have it all figured out. Yes, it's hard. But at some point, if I go hard enough, long enough, strategic enough, you know, right place, right time, that I can make it happen. So, you know, I accept the inspiration. 50K a month, here we go.
Here we go. Can we end with a 3 to 4 minute GitHub?
The simplest. This is going to be the simplest tutorial of life. Yeah. Like, this is going to be so simple. Think of GitHub as this one giant lion. This is your project. And think of, I'll maybe like draw like little lines here. Think of these as like major milestone product updates, things you've shipped, right? Let's say for the first one that this was an admin dashboard, right? We shipped an admin dashboard, Greg, and our customers are extremely happy. But then we got some new feedback that they want like a live tracker in the admin dashboard. We currently have a working project. We currently have working code. What most people have been doing with their Vibe projects, like you build and you kick publish and then it publishes right away. What most people have been doing is they're adding a new feature on top of working code. Now, here's the problem. Most people's setup is as follows. They have their Vibe coding tool, Vibe coding, or IDE for the devs, right? So this is where you write or you prompt your code, and then you push this code to GitHub, right? Mm-hmm. And then think of GitHub again as this giant line of like features you're continuing to stack. And then the way most people have it set up is this code is probably getting pushed to Vercel, right? Vercel or Netlify, these are the big boys. Now, here's the problem. The problem here, and the reason why GitHub is so important, is let's say people want the live tracker, but our app is working fine how it is right now. If I prompt my IDE or my Vibe code tool, or even myself as a developer, I build this live tracker feature, and let's say I didn't test well, or even let's say we tested, but there was some bug that we missed, and I push this to production, this pushes to Vercel, updates the site, updates the app. Now I've pushed a bug into my live code. Site can go down, user can mess. Like there's a lot of things that can go wrong. GitHub works as such. So let's say I'll remove this right here. So let's say we've shipped the admin dashboard. Perfect. Now we want to add the live tracker. GitHub has this terminology or this thing called branching for we can copy the code from its last working point and create a new branch. And I can give a name to this branch. And usually the naming convention for like a production branch is main. It used to be master, but apparently master is offensive now. It's main. Did I just delete main? It's main. And for like the new branch, I can name it whatever I want. So in this case, let's say we're a large team. I'll name it Mickey/Live Tracker. And the reason why I'll name it this way is you know that it's me who's working on this. And by the name, you can kind of tell what feature I'm working on. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to be building out the live tracker feature in this branch. This code is now separate from this code. This branch is connected to Vercel. So as long as I don't push, as long as I don't touch this branch, the live deployment is fine. And the reason why GitHub is so sick is I can continue to work on this branch, thoroughly test it, and then when it's all said and done and it's good, I'll merge this. Let me get my pencil. I'll merge this back into the branch. So now I've had a clean run where this app is working fine. I spent enough time testing to make sure all is well. And once I'm confident that all is well, I merge it. And I showed an example earlier when we were talking about Devin. This is a classic example where the change that was made was this right here. This line was removed. You can see the branch name here. The branch name is Devin slash some number fix past template expiration, right? So kind of the same naming naming convention. You can name it however you want, but I find that helpful. And then the way in technical organizations it works is a manager or someone else reviews it. In this case, it could be you or CodeRabbit. And then you see this option right here that's hidden right now where you click merge. And then once you've merged it, it's essentially into your main code base. So although most people will not be into GitHub heavily, I think understanding that this is how it works, and I think as the tools continue to get better, we're going to start, like Vibe Coders will have access to these type of tools, like being able to branch, and this is essentially how it works. I have a main branch. This is connected to my Vercel or Netlify. If I push code to here, it redeploys my site, and in order to build a very sustainable piece of product that works, that's functional, every single feature I want to build or change I want to make, I have to turn into a new branch, right? I vibe coded, I tested, it works. I'm happy. Then I merge in. And there are times where you start and it never gets merged. But guess what? You don't care because it does not affect the main branch, which is connected to your Vercel and Netlify. And that's a GitHub crash course.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I appreciate that. I think, one thing we often forget is GitHub is owned by Microsoft.
Yeah.
So yeah, you got to think that OpenAI with Codex and the integrations that they're going to be doing with GitHub.
And I think like all the vibe coding tools, I mean, like this is even stuff we're working on Tempo. Yeah. Is like, if we really want people to build serious applications, these workflows are coming, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And I can imagine it almost being like every time you work on a new feature, like the tool automatically creates a new branch for you, right?
It makes sense.
Because directly pushing live into production is...
You're crazy.
Yeah. Especially if you're making money, you can, you know...
Especially if you're making 50K a month.
50X EBITDA too. Yeah.
Dude, thank you so much for the chat.
Greg, this was fun, man.
People need a... I'll link it in the description, but follow you, subscribe, and you'll be a smarter person for it. So
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure, and hope to do these more.
Absolutely. Until next time.
My man.
Take care.